I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, it seems like my entire life we've been fighting against HIV, and there really have been remarkable progress made pretty much fairly recently. PrEP has made it possible for someone to avoid getting HIV entirely, pretty effectively. Although we still don't have a cure once you have the disease, it's no longer the death sentence that it used to be. And now scientists at Johns Hopkins have found two potential new drug targets for the treatment of HIV. Now, this is preliminary. It was a study of just 19 people infected with both HIV and the hepatitis C virus. And what they're looking at is two genes, CMPK2 and BCLG. These genes are selectively activated in the presence of type 1 interferon. That's a drug that was the one treatment we really had, the main treatment for hepatitis C. According to Ashwin Balagopal, who is at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, he said, "We've known that HIV worsens our ability to treat hepatitis C with type 1 interferon, but why that was has been unclear. In some way, the virus's interactions with each other and with the treatment seemed at the root of the failure." This is something that they wanted to explore more closely, and the participants, who all had chronic HIV and hepatitis C infections, they were given injections of interferon to treat the hepatitis C. Now, their blood was sampled before and after the treatment, and they found that after the treatment, participants had an average of 10 times less HIV in their blood. Again, this is preliminary, but it does look that, like CMPK2 and BCLG, offer an opportunity as a target for future HIV treatments. Over a century ago, Italian surgeon Francesco Durante looked through a microscope, and he noticed the similarities between cells in the most malignant cancers and the embryonic cells of the organ in which the cancer originated. Scientists at the Salk Institute have taken this realization a little further, and what they found was that cells in human basal-like breast cancers share features that are similar to the embryonic mammary breast stem cells that are the progenitors of all cell types in the mammary gland. This insight was published in Cell Reports this month. According to Professor Jeffrey Wall, he said, Durante was prescient. He anticipated the relatedness of cells in the embryo to those in malignant cancers, and that dormant cancer cells could be reawakened by exposure to persistent irritations that we now recognize as inflammation. We can use the insights gained from our work to develop better diagnostic and treatment strategies. Now, cancer has been referred to as a caricature of development, and that's because it seems to reprise features of the embryonic stem cell state. Fellow investigator Benjamin Spike said, "There's been intense interest in determining how rare cells and tumors can fuel tumor growth and resistance to therapies. Much of the molecular machinery they use to do this appears to be co-opted and corrupted from stem cells and progenitors that used this machinery to build the normal tissue during development. Our study provides an atlas of the responsible genes that can be tested for their potential as therapeutic targets." So tumors can form because of the developmental plasticity of the cells themselves, which is why when somebody says, we can find a cure for cancer, that's not how it works. Because of this plasticity, it kind of makes it impossible to develop a single treatment for cancer. Cancers are adaptive diseases, and you have to attack them from a whole bunch of different directions. This study gives us some potential new directions to look at. I'm a man, and I don't have to worry about unwanted pregnancy. The reason for that is because I had the best form of male birth control. I was sterilized. Snip, snip. And it's great. I just don't have to worry about getting someone pregnant when I don't want to. And trust me, I don't want to. But it's sort of a permanent fix. It's not something you can easily go backwards on. Women have had the birth control pill since the 60s. But the long, long quest for something equivalent for men has been a long, long quest that so far hasn't gone anywhere. we're almost 60 years into a quest that has been futile so far for a male birth control pill. And it's not because men don't want it. Men want to have some control over these things as well, because having an unwanted pregnancy can impact them negatively as well. And these days, you can't argue it's not yours if it is. A simple DNA test will settle it. And on this show, we have reported time and time again on the state of the art of birth control. And every time, we've had to say, well, it's still a long, long ways away. Here's what's promising. But don't expect it anytime soon. Well, pretty much all of those candidates haven't been so promising in the long run. None of them have really made much in the way of progress that I am aware of. But we'll tell you about the latest. DMAU was studied on 83 healthy men between the ages of 18 and 15. They tried three different dosages along with the usual placebo. And in these tests, it did show a sharp decline in sperm, and there was actual sperm suppression. Now, there was a side effect, weight gain, although they don't know yet whether the weight gain was muscle mass or fat, and to us guys, that's sort of a big difference. We want to know, hey, give us a pill that'll help us gain muscles and not get someone pregnant? That would be pretty awesome. And there's something about side effects that was brought up with this study that I hadn't really thought about. For women, pregnancy is dangerous. You can die from being pregnant. So the side effects, while it's important to consider them, it's sometimes a balancing act whether this side effect is worse than actually getting pregnant. For men, the equation is a little different. There are no serious side effects physically to your body from getting someone else pregnant. And some have suggested that that's part of the problem of getting a male contraceptive. The side effect barrier for women is much less than it is for men. Which is something I never even considered. And yes, it's promising, could go somewhere, but it's like the same story I always have to say about these new experimental drugs. It's, in 5 to 10 years it may be on the market. I've been saying that same thing about an awful lot of drugs for a long, long time now, and not a single one of them has hit the market or even come close to hitting the market. The truth is, dealing with women's pregnancy is a lot easier, because, you know, you got the ovum drop down, and that's what you're battling. For men, you got millions of sperm cells that you got to deal with. I actually think the NICHD has a better chance. And I'm like, niched? I like that name. Use niched so you won't be forced to get hitched. It uses a synthetic progestin to tell the testes to stop producing sperm. And then it also has a testosterone replacement to minimize the physical side effects of having reduced testosterone. And it's just a gel. You put it on your arms and shoulders. Now, it's still not the easiest thing to use because you gotta put it on every single day, which is not as convenient as just popping a pill. Human trials for that start this fall and will last for a year. Another part of the problem is that there just isn't very much money being spent on developing drugs like this. Pharmaceutical companies make a huge amount of money from female-targeted contraceptives, but they're not as sure that they'll make as much money from those targeted to the male market, so they just don't invest as much. Some of the big companies like Bayer, who have supported this kind of male contraceptive research in the past, don't do it anymore. That's not really an issue for me personally, although it's, I think, an important issue for the world at large. Neither my wife and I could have children for a big chunk of our marriage, and that was because we didn't want them, and we both got fixed, and it was nice to know that there was very, very little likelihood of there being any kind of accident when neither one of us could contribute to a pregnancy. I suspect there really is a pretty big market from a lot of men who don't want to just leave it up to the woman, or leave it up to an accident, or leave it up to fate as to whether they're going to make someone pregnant or not. When a man can't find a woman to be with, he has to take matters into his own hands. And when he does have a woman, I think he wants to take matters into his own hands about pregnancy as well. We have a shocking problem with unwanted pregnancies in this country. The numbers are horrifying. The more people we get on birth control, the more we reduce those unwanted pregnancies. I may not see it in my lifetime, but we do need to see birth control for men, just like we have for women.